everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 124 for the 19th of March, 2011. I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm fantastic. Well, hi to everyone in the chat room. We have a fucking full chat room this week.
Yeah, it's grown really fast, actually. It was quite small, and then suddenly everybody's
I think that's because everybody's come to the idea that they should come in like 10 minutes late, because that's about when we kick off.
Because we are incapable of starting at 12 o'clock.
Exactly, but who wants to be regulated? I mean, just boring. No.
Moopy-Doo says, long time no see, Beardy. Yes, absolutely, Moopy. Where have you been?
Dude, it's so good to see all of these people that are crossovers.
And like Snake has not been here in ages because he's been working on Saturdays. Yeah, so, Snake, it's great to see you in the chat room as well. So, all of you, in fact, don't think I'm playing favorites here. You're all welcome. For those who may wonder why my voice sounds a little bit odd today, I am actually, I've come down with a pretty nasty cold. Came down with it yesterday, actually, and I'm sniffling and snuffling my way through.
Be in slightly drugged out mode, so it'll be fine for everyone involved.
So, yes, I'm sniffling and snuffling my way through it. And if some words don't come out right, it's because with sinuses blocked, it's hard to say some words. So just bear with me and we will get through this. Yeah. Okay, so this is the Geek Actually Show. This is a little bit of tech, a little bit of geek. Excuse me. We meld it together. We used to have two shows. We've kind of pushed them all together. We take kind of a lighthearted look at everything that is going on. I thought you were cold.
I am, but I figure this might help you.
Oh, thank you very much. Josh is just turning fans on in the studio. All right, so we get together every week and we just kind of geek out, basically, is what this is all about. You don't take any of it too seriously, except every now and again we get on our high horse like last week, and I think this week may be a little bit the same, just because of some of the topics that have
We're
raised
not serious,
their heads.
But you'll be surprised in the amount of times we actually get serious.
Yeah, we do like to. And when something comes up, we do like to delve into it. Now, I do want to start the show, though, by saying that we are thinking of our brother geeks and sister geeks in Japan.
Yep,
and say that it has been a real tragedy over there, and everything that's been going on with the nuclear reactor. And Delta, who sends our links to us, David Murray, who's our researcher, sent me a whole bunch of stuff on nuclear reactors and stuff. And I said to Josh, you know what? I don't want to do them.
Yeah.
No. I actually don't want to delve into it. There's a couple reasons why. First of all, I'm not an expert. That's not going to fit in that jack, dude. Shh.
We could have done that without you saying that.
I'm not an expert on nuclear physics, and all I can say is that I'm watching it very, very closely because I'm very fascinated by it. But I don't want to speculate or get into all sorts of things about, you know, what could or couldn't happen over there.
That and the other thing to remember is there are so many people covering this right now that are serious, serious podcasters, and it's like, our hearts go out to the people over there, and there are a lot of companies that we love and, you know, sort of things that we enjoy from this area. So we really are worried about the outcome of Japan. But I think to get really serious on the show would kind of defeat the purpose of everything that
That's right. And you know what? Maybe some of our Japanese listeners would like to tune in and just have some fun, you know, rather than think about everything that's been going on. So we are going to say we are thinking of you guys, and I am going to be pledging a Red Cross donation sometime in the next day or so through the iTunes store, which I think is damn decent of them to put up. They put a link in the iTunes store for you to put Red Cross donations where they take no cut or anything. It's a straight direct debit straight to the Red Cross, which makes it really easy to do it. And if anybody out there has a little bit of spare money, although I like taking donations at this site, I say give it to Japan at the moment because they need it. Secondly, I just wanted to raise, well, this is not in the show notes or anything, but I'm not going to go into great detail because if you want to hear it in great detail, go over and listen to Leo Laporte's Mac Break Weekly. They actually have the letter and they read it out. But I just want to say kudos to the Japanese Apple Store. Because I think they went above and beyond during this. When they actually kept the store open late, they allowed anybody to come in and use their free Wi-Fi, because free Wi-Fi is not a big thing in Japan, to find out information. So people were coming in using all the computers and portable devices, using Ustream feeds and so forth to try and find out information. The employees brought out all the chargers in the shop and plugged them all in, and everybody was just welcome to come and charge their devices up as they needed. And as far as the actual staff were concerned, they went out and they stocked the store with food and told the staff that they were welcome to stay there and just sleep there and everything else. And I just thought, that is damn good relations with both their staff and the people around them. Apparently, after they closed at 10 o'clock at night, the Apple staff stayed around outside the store helping people still do their devices.
That's really cool.
And I thought that was really neat as well. So kudos to the Apple store for that, because I thought that was really good. And for those who think that Apple is just an evil empire, sometimes they do stuff like this where you go, that's customer service, you know?
Yeah,
that's caring. So, all right, with all that being said, we do have a little bit of feedback this week, and I thought we'd read this first. I actually got three, but the two from Clara Tungle, he just sent links, so there's nothing written, and so we've just got his links. But the first one is actually from Tristan, who is in our chat room right now. So Tristan said, "Hey guys, found this article today. It looks pretty cool. Maybe it will be how we do the Star Wars style communications one day." And he sent this link for fog projectors. And what I've done with the video is I've actually heavily edited this video because a lot of it is a Japanese lady talking. Yes, she has subtitles, but for our audio listeners, that wouldn't help. But luckily, there was also a narrator in parts. So I've just cut it down to the narrated parts. And what's really interesting, if, for those who are listening to the audio, go and have a look at this video because this is fascinating. So here you go. This is the 3D projector. It's using fog as its medium.
At Interaction 2011... a research group from Osaka University exhibited a fog display that enables multi-viewpoint observation. This system utilizes the fact that dispersion of light by fog has directionality. It projects different pictures from different angles onto a cylindrical fog screen. In this way, the 3D form of objects can be recognized from the motion parallax, which is how the view of objects changes depending on the viewpoint. If the fog screen can be made larger and the number of projectors increased, it'll also be possible to provide a large format 360-degree display.
How awesome is that? That is just, all, and I like what he said, more projectors, bigger fog screen, much higher resolution. And it's early days, but that is so, help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope.
Give it time and we'll have amazing things.
I think it's fantastic. So yeah, and as I say, you can watch the whole video with the Japanese lady giving much more detail. But as I say, with subtitles, it's a little bit hard for the show. Now, we also got two links sent through to us by Clara Tungle. Now, one of them I read through and I thought, well, that's very interesting. But I've actually heard contradictory information on this now. So apparently in this article that he sent through, which is from SF Weekly, basically, they're saying that Microsoft is killing the Zune lineup.
Yeah.
They're finally putting it to rest. Now, I got two things to say about this. Why did the Zune not work when everybody actually talks about how nice the hardware is? Because Microsoft never released it anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
What was wrong with them to start with? You'd think if you're going to try and take on iTunes and the iPods, first thing you'd want to do is release it in the same countries that iTunes and iPods are in. However, the other piece of contradictory information I've had about the Zune lineup is that it actually hasn't been officially killed yet. I was listening to Paul Thurrott, who writes the Win Supersite, and he was basically saying that it hasn't been updated in like 18 months, and they haven't officially killed it, but it is very unlikely that they're probably going to release any more, because the Zune brand, as such, is being kind of phased out in favor of the new Phone 7 brand. My question is, what happens to things like Zune stores on Xboxes and stuff like that?
Yeah.
They phase the brand out. So I don't know. At this point, it's all a bit up in the air. But thank you for sending that link through, because it is interesting to have a read of the article. The link is in our show notes, and you can actually see what they have to say about that.
Calisynth is saying that they're killing the hardware, but not the marketplace and the other software.
See, once again, contradictory again, because I heard they were killing the Zune brand. So I don't know. Once again, we don't know. Microsoft is playing. I think Microsoft is in damage control at the moment. I don't think Windows Phone 7 did nearly the business they wanted it to do. And I think they're in kind of damage control. They've said that they're going to have a new tablet out now. And this is the part I love. They announced that Microsoft is going to release a tablet. And in this competitive world, when is their tablet going to come out? Apparently, the prototype will be out sometime in July. They're a little bit late to the market here, you know?
Hey, man, but they've got the time to do it right. And you know what? If they can actually get the Phone 7 software to work well on a tablet, then sure, I'll be interested.
That'd be great, but they can't seem to get the phone software to work fine on the phone at the moment. That's the problem.
Well, the other question is, are they going to do that, or are they going to try and get Windows 8 onto the tablet?
That's been a speculation as well, but Windows 8's not due for release until next year, so we'll see.
Dude, it's not the first time we've seen people try and bring out like a cut down version or a simplified
version.
Like, I mean, this could be where they test it.
That's true. I agree. I think it's going to be.
Look,
it's going to be
at this stage. Does it really matter? I mean, like, they're always late to the cut anyway. So you know, like, maybe this time they should, instead of just coming late, they should actually try and get it better than everyone.
Heard an analyst talking, and we know what analysts are like. I mean, analysts, you know, like what we said last week, opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one, analysts are just basically opinion makers, right? So we don't really take what the analysts. I mean, we can sit there and say, yes, the analyst said this, but you know, frankly. Oh, okay, I'm an analyst today, and I can say iPad 3 will be out next year. There you go. That's as much as an analyst really knows, right? All right, so the question is, though, that will it be a little bit too little too late, like Windows Phone 7? And that's the problem. You come this late to the marketplace, can you sway people over? We've got the Zoom coming out, or somebody pointed out on a podcast that maybe it should be pronounced Exoom. You know, the Zoom is coming out. Once again, the price has been an issue with that. We've got a story about tablets coming up. We'll talk a little bit more about them in detail. The HP touchpad is the one we're going to talk about in great detail, because this machine looks like we may have a contender. And we also have the BlackBerry Playbook coming out. Now, I've actually heard, once again, contradictory stuff. I've actually heard a contradictory report saying, remember when we first talked about the Playbook, we said you needed to have a BlackBerry for connection. Now, it looks like there is now stories coming out saying you may not need that. So if they get that connection out, we might actually have another contender. Anyway, we'll come back to that in a minute. The point is with Microsoft is that I think the biggest issue with Microsoft is Steve Ballmer. It's a behemoth of a company that doesn't turn very fast anyway. And quite frankly, Ballmer is slow to the game every time. I don't think I remember Microsoft being this slow to the game under the Gates. Under the Gates mantle. Okay, he stepped on everybody's toes and made everybody angry, but he was always there, you know? Whereas Microsoft at the moment seems to be like it's the new cuddly soft Microsoft that doesn't want to step on anybody's toes, so they're sitting so far back in the marketplace that...
They're becoming a joke in their own right. And, like, I mean, that's something I never wanted to see. Like, Microsoft were the heavy hitters. When did they become the friendly people that are, like you're saying, not trying to step on anybody's feet?
Yeah.
Like, they used to be the evil empire, but they're now trying to become, they're, like you're saying, family friendly. And it's just, I don't get it, because no one wants them to be that. I mean, their market, their actual market that they had was the hardcores, the people that enjoyed the ability to use their software any way they wanted, the people that enjoyed freeware over, like, the constraints of what was Apple. And it's like, they're actually turning their back to the exact people that are still giving them money. And I just don't get it. Like,
for every good thing they do, like Windows 7, which is a sensational operating system, they do weird, weird things like release the Kin phone and then kill it a month later. It's like you sit there and go, what the hell is that all about?
Yeah,
you
know? No. Like, they're not... They feel like they have no belief in their own... stuff now, like
Moopy-Doo says, Steve Ballmer, who dances around psychotically and screams and repeats words, he just might need replacing. And Delta has responded with might. Yes, I think the problem at the moment is Ballmer, and I think if Ballmer were to step down and get some new leadership in there, we might actually see Microsoft become, because they've got the money, they've got the resources, they've got, quite frankly, the market share to really make an impact. And at the moment, it's like they're just watching. They're not. They're actually kind of scary in a way, because they're kind of sitting back and you sit there going, "What's your move?" You know,
where are you heading with
this? Where are you heading with this? The other link that Clara Tungle sent through was we won't go into great detail on it, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. It was a Mashable article, which was actually talking kind of about the psychology of Twitter, and they've actually started looking at Twitter and started to Twitter users into two camps. You can actually tell by their user profile, their usernames, and their tweets whether they're happy users or unhappy users, and it seems that the unhappy users seem to flock together, and the happy users seem to flock together. And you can actually see these two camps forming in Twitter, which I just thought was really interesting that we're seeing this psychology online forming, and it's kind of sad, actually. You think, wouldn't it be nice if some of these unhappy people hooked up with the happy people and became happier people, you know? But no, they seem to connect to each other. But I guess that's kind of the way the world works. So we won't go into much detail, but thank you very much for sending those links through. They are always much appreciated, and we always kind of throw them in when we can. But we are going to do our impending robot apocalypse news. And this week, we're going to do something slightly different. This week, we actually have a piece of humor for you. College Humor. Hello.
I thought.
No, do you know what that? That was my iPad. I don't usually have my iPad volume turned up, and I actually had
this
my
guy, iPad. This fucking guy right here, man. So he makes us so unprofessional.
I know, isn't
time.
It terrible? I'll just turn my iPad volume down here. Somebody's sending me tweets. I don't know why they're sending me tweets. There we go. All right, so let's turn down. I'll look at that tweet later on. All right, so as I was saying, College Humor does these parodies. And on our film show, we've actually shown a few of these parodies. This was the first tech one I think we pulled from College Humor. Delta sent this through, and I'm just going to let you watch it. This is, it's kind of, I love this video because it's kind of like a what if. In this, it's with all the Kinect hacks that have been happening around, this is a guy who's actually made his Kinect self-aware. So watch this and see what you think.
Hey everybody, my name is James Tiller. I recently bought a Microsoft Kinect. It's the box. When I saw the cool things everybody was doing with theirs online, I wanted to see if I could take mine to the next level and make my Kinect self-aware. So I've gone ahead and augmented the CPU and just need to turn it on. And yeah, our Kinect is now a fully functioning artificial intelligence. It's probably experiencing curiosity about its new surroundings, along with a sense of extreme existential dread. Hey, hey buddy, you wanna play ping pong? Now, because I gave it consciousness, the Kinect probably views me as a father figure type or some sort of a creator slash god. And yeah, it's actually decided I'm a local being who must be destroyed. Very cool. It's very cool.
That's very cool.
I'm going to switch it off now. And yeah, it's totally locked me out. And disconnecting its power source seems to have only enraged it further. Now, because I'm connected to the internet through Xbox Live, the Kinect will be able to access the world's collected computer networks, which it is doing now. It's a truly astonishing device. Now, I had planned on smashing the Kinect with this baseball bat, and it appears to have fashioned some sort of crude handgun from spare components, which is now waving at me in a very threatening manner. I'm fairly dubious that such a device could even function. Okay, cool, it definitely works. Now, considering the Kinect's impending omnipotence, one can only hope that it will show mercy. Never mind, it's going directly for our government's nuclear arsenal. Nope. I was gonna, in future version of this hack, add in a morality, maybe teach it about the sanctity of human life, but I guess it's too late for all that now. What is this? Oh, perfect. As a final act of retribution, the Kinect is now uploading embarrassing pictures of me playing Dance Central to various social media outlets. It's fascinating. Well, thanks for watching. You can get the tutorial for this on my blog, and be sure to subscribe to my channel.
That's fantastic. I like
isn't,
that.
Isn't that just awesome? So there you go. That is where it could all lead.
Yeah. That's where we're at.
So College Humor has given us a little word of warning on where all these hacked Kinects could go.
Yeah.
And yes, I think that was actually one of their better ones. College Humor for me is very hit or miss. I just love how deadpan he is throughout the whole thing. It's like, yeah. No, he's actually now done it. Okay.
But yeah, look, dude, he's perfectly playing how it is, how these people that do tutorials are. They never have any emotion in their voices. They're never excited about what they've done.
So I thought that was terrific. And I thought with all of the real robot news, I thought that was actually just charming. So thank you very much, Delta, for sending that through to us. I think that was fantastic. All right.
Apparently, Kelson, this is totally going to get that hack right now.
Absolutely, damn straight. Just put in the morality circuits.
Yeah, exactly. Just make sure you work on the morality thing before you activate it.
Yeah. All right, so we are going to move into our general tech news here. Now, we actually have this one major subject here. We have a couple of other stories. We may not get to those. It all depends on how this goes. So basically last week we threw out there that Mortal Kombat had been banned in this country. It was just the 9th Mortal Kombat game, right? Mm-hmm. And it's been banned in this country. And yet they let We Dare through, which has now apparently been pulled from sale in England. Mm-hmm. So even they've pulled it from sale now. But Mortal Kombat gets banned. And this has kind of created a shitstorm effect. And so last week it was kind of like, yeah, a game's been banned. This week, with all the articles that have been coming out, we've seen this shitstorm start to build. Now, this has actually led us to a couple of things. We're going to open the phone lines and let you guys call in on this. Not yet, please, but we're going to let you, but I'll give you the number now so you can get ready. It's Sydney number 02-8011-3167, or our Skype ID is Geek Actually, all one word. Don't call in just yet, though. Let's get through some of this information, and then we'll get your opinions on this. All right, so first of all, news.com.au is carrying a story which actually talks about the fact that it's lost its first appeal. And I think the losing of the appeal was when people started to lose their friggin' minds. Because we had Aliens versus Predator before. And what was the other game? It was, I want to say Fear, not Fear. Crisis.
Fear 2.
They both got through on appeal.
Yeah.
And this time around, they lost their appeal. Now, the appeal is actually being handled by the same team that helped Warner Brothers get Aliens versus Predator and Fear 2 through. So I think people really felt that there was something going on there. They thought this team knows how to get this through. And it didn't work.
Yeah.
This kind of sparked our federal Home Affairs Minister, Brendan O'Connor, to speak up. Now, I thought this was very interesting. Now, we actually talked several weeks ago about how the federal government has come out now and actually said, we want the R rating. But the way the system works, the attorneys general have to all have a consensus, and they haven't been able to do it. And the federal government has basically been saying, you need to step up to the plate and get this going on. Well, this week, Brendan O'Connor basically slapped them over the wrist and said, you've got your next meeting in July. Yeah. And if you guys can't make a decision in July, the decision's going to be taken away from you. And I thought that was a really ballsy move to make, for one. But so it should be done. Also, at the same time, a call has been raised to completely review and overhaul the rating system.
Yeah.
So this is now what Skeleton's saying. I'd be more angry about this, but I planned on importing the game anyway. And that's exactly one of the points that we're going to bring up here, is that after Mr. O'Connor's statements about saying that we're going to review this, and we really, I think the most telling words that he actually said, and I'm going to quote him directly. He actually said, we're becoming the laughingstock of the developed world.
Damn right.
And I thought, wow, he's actually, people are actually starting to see this finally. This is something we actually said on, I think, platforms way back, and we've said it on Geek Actually and Tech Actually many times. We're the laughingstock of the developed world. Everybody else has a system in place that allows protection of people by a sensible rating system that makes sense. We don't. We are becoming
Amish in our ways. Like, I'm sorry, but it's getting ridiculous. Like, we're getting to the point where we're looking at technology and ratings and our own personal ability to, you know, sort of decipher what something is and how we can maintain that. We're being run by this really heavily religious, devout system which the rest of Australia really doesn't adhere to. And I don't quite understand how it's gone on this long, but finally to have someone like Mr. O'Connor actually stand up and go, you guys are just being children. Like, this isn't even funny anymore. As we were talking about last night, we're getting to the point where these people who are supposedly in charge of our independent states are just so unable to make a decision on anything that has any major effect over the world. We just either end up with a ridiculous split mentality on subjects, like, as an example, how we trade in products, or how we have different rules in each state for different driver's licenses and stuff like this. I just think we're getting to the point where it's almost ridiculous. Like, why do these individual states have so much power over subjects that are really a countrywide problem?
This debate has reared its head before, where we sit there and say the population of Australia is too small to have this many layers of government. We really, and this is going to open a whole hornet's nest of people writing to us, I'm sure, but we really don't need state governments. We need local governments to maintain things like signs and roads and parking restrictions and what have you, but we need a federal government. We only have 22, 23 million people in this country. I can understand there being a state and federal system in America. There's 300 million people over 50 states, you know what I mean? So, okay, I still don't think their system works perfectly either, don't get me wrong, but I can understand why they have that many levels of government. I don't understand why we have that many levels of government here. It doesn't make sense. And so when we have something like this rating system come up, you sit there and go, this is kind of like a catalyst for every problem that we're having at the moment, where we go, it is, this whole thing is being held up at a state level. It's being held up by a bunch of attorney generals who are all have different motives. They all have different petty reasons for not wanting to agree to each other.
Exactly.
And so they're all basically sitting there going, no, I don't want to do that because it's in the betterment of Queensland, or it's in the betterment of Adelaide, or what have you. And you sit there and go, you know, what's better for the country?
Yeah.
You know, this is going to affect everybody. I think it's interesting that O'Connor actually went on the ABC and actually said, we're the only country that allows tens and tens of games to be used by minors that are only used by adults overseas.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's basically saying that he wants the R rating because it will protect the children, not the other way around, which is, seems to be the general consensus. Oh, we can't bring in these adult games. If you have an R rating, it's going to restrict those games, you know? So I don't understand his opinion. But the plot thickens.
Yeah.
Now, this is where it gets even more interesting. And this is where we're going to start taking calls in a few seconds. Excuse me. But this also, an article in the Sydney Morning Herald came up this week where Paul Hunt, who was the former deputy director of the Office of Film and Literature Classification, which of course now is just known as the Classification Board, he said in a phone interview to the Sydney Morning Herald that he felt the system was broken. So even they're actually now saying the system is broken. He said it used to work at a time when they used to review films and literature. But now everything is being pumped through the Office of Film and Literature Classification to such a degree, they don't have time to look at it all. They're completely overwhelmed, and stuff is just slipping through the cracks. And he basically said that in Europe, they use the PEGI system, and in America, they use the ESRB, which are both self-regulated systems, like the Australian television system is today. They give their own rating. They have a board, and they submit to their own board. They rate themselves, basically saying, this is what we're doing, and they put them out. And he said, Australia should have a self-regulated system for games or for a classification system. I'm assuming he means movies as well here, which is how the MPAA works in America, which is an industry self-regulated rating system. Now, as he pointed out, before anybody jumps up and down and says, oh, but then they'll just put everything out as, you know, the lowest rating, it's not in their interest to do that. And that's what's happened with PEGI and the ESRB and with the MPAA, where they basically say, if we put something out that doesn't warrant the right rating, people will complain and sales will be affected.
And interestingly enough, we have something to support this with something that's actually happened in the country, which is something we talked about last week or the week before, which is the whole We Dare game, which we immediately raised our concerns towards because this is totally not appropriate for anyone of a PG rating defined era. And funnily enough,
Ubisoft, when the game was actually submitted to the ratings board in this country, Ubisoft actually recommended it as an M-rated game, and they turned around and rated it PG. So had it been a self-regulated system, We Dare would have been released as an M-rated game. But under the current system, it got pushed through as a PG. This makes no sense to me.
Well, it all falls back to that problem that we have with our current system anyway, which is that it's ironic that all these people are saying that our you know, our system is in place so that we can protect the children and all this sort of stuff. What I don't think these people realize is none of the classification board actually play these games. They go in the same way that we would have if we set up a PEGI-based system or OFLC.
The MPAA or the what's the American one called again? I've got it here somewhere. I always get it wrong. I always get the
ESRB. Isn't that it?
ESRB, the ESRB.
And we have this system pretty much already in place. It's just that we aren't leaving it to the developers that would be able to put decent ratings on these things. We're giving it to a group of people that don't understand gaming because they don't play games. And basically we've got people coming in with these ideas set up and just pitching it, and that's it. It's like we get Left 4 Dead in this country banned based entirely on a wording problem, which was just that they said that they were infected and not undead, which is the line between those in any zombie movie is a questionable thing. Even if they are dead, are they animated, can they be revived, blah blah blah.
Depending on what lore you go with, absolutely.
Exactly, but the company themselves would have said, let's go for the highest rating we possibly can. This is nothing but mindless violence, and done an R18 if we had it, or an MA15 if we could, right? But all we had is a guy in a room giving a pitch story and being denied a rating. And this is all it comes down to.
And it is actually in this article in the Sydney Morning Herald, if you go and actually have a look at our link, he actually says there have been many cases where people have submitted a game, it has been refused classification, then resubmitted exactly the same game, and then passed.
Exactly.
No changes made, you know?
Because it just comes down to the time and the place over whether or not we're getting
and
these
things
accepted.
And which person you got.
Exactly.
Right.
And this is so stupid. This system is so broken, it's beyond repair.
I like what somebody said in our chat room. Where is it? Let's see if we can back that up a little bit and say, if you can find it. Oh, yeah, there it is. Zed actually said, why don't we just use the ERSB system or the PEGI system? I agree with that. I don't know why we don't set up one international system. We're all basically the same European-based, English-language-based countries. We all use that system. PEGI works across multiple countries because it works across Europe.
Yeah.
Why don't we just basically all join forces, release the game,
look,
and say, here's the system.
I think realistically, based on our current situation, this is never going to happen.
Probably
not. Let's focus for now on just getting us up to scratch with everyone else, and we'll work from there. Like, and the great thing is, we're at a situation where the gun's going to be pulled no matter what happens. Like, this is going to happen now. Because if they don't make a decision on it, at a state level, which they won't, because they're not just going to say yes, because I just can't see that happening.
This is going to get much messier before it gets cleaner.
Exactly. Now, if they say no, it's going to get taken away from them, because no is not an answer anymore. And that this is apparent to me in every aspect of our government, because federal is saying, make a decision, but realistically what that means is say yes or we'll take it off you.
Yeah,
because they're not just going to say, they can't say no anymore. There's no no left. Because no,
there's no rational explanation for no. That's
well,
the
more
problem.
Importantly, no doesn't fix anything. It's obvious now it's broken. We have things on both sides, which is what I'm loving. It's not just the gamers now. We Dare was a strike against their own system. They're trying so hard to stop us from an R18 rating, yet they're fucking it up on their end, right? And to let something like that through, to let a game come through that can go out to a PG household, that can go out to an 8 to 15-year-old and have a group of these 12 to 13-year-olds sexually exploring each other, is a complete defeat in my eyes. They basically turned around and let something through that they shouldn't have let through. And this is a break for us.
I think Hunt's quote here is the most telling quote of the whole thing, where he says, at the end of the day, industry wants to make a buck. And if they've got something that's too strong, then there's going to be a backlash, which basically is reinforcing the idea they won't underrate their stuff if you make them self-regulated.
Oh, hell no.
Because they want to make sure they don't lose customers. They're going to make sure they want as many customers. And you know what? Quite frankly, it is in their interest to release a game like Aliens versus Predator. It is in their interest to release that at R rating. Why? Yeah. Because adults are going to flock to it because they're going to say, yes, R rated. You know what I mean?
Dude, how many times do we go to a horror movie or a violent movie based entirely on an R18 rating? You can go because you know that you're going to get nothing but violence.
That's right.
And mindless violence, and we can accept that because we're
time,
adults.
We protect the children, you know? Alright, we're going to open the phone lines. We're going to keep talking about this, but we're going to open the phone lines right now. So if you have something to say on this, you can call us. Please keep it on topic if you can. 0280113167, Australian Sydney number. Or our Skype handle is Geek Actually if you are outside of the area and want to be cheap, like we are always cheap. So you can call in right now if you want to and have your opinion on this. But while we're waiting for that to happen, I just think we're at a turning point now. So July is the magic date.
Yeah.
We are in a situation where the government wants to overhaul the rating system, and they're basically saying that's going to happen now. The attorney generals go into meeting in July, and this is basically their last shot at this, I think. So I think we are reaching tipping point. We are reaching that point where if you fill a balloon full of water, it reaches a certain point where that balloon is eventually going to burst. And I think we're almost at that point right now. I think we thought we were there at the end of last year, but they could fit that little bit more water in the room or fit more water in that balloon. But I think we are reaching bursting point now, because I think the federal government stepping in has basically made a very strong statement. And yeah. I think they, but them stepping in, I think the attorney generals have got to be thinking to themselves, oh, maybe we've pissed off mommy and daddy.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, I actually wouldn't be surprised if this does get addressed. Like, the only thing left to really screw us over is the fact that if the attorney generals come together and make a yes, that again hinders us again. Like, I think that either way, the federal government will be watching so closely. If they don't get what they want out of this, they're just going to take it anyway. But I just see it's almost like I expect them to just try and fuck it up for no particular reason.
Yep.
Like, just because they can. Because we're at that point where no is not an option, so all they can do is try and say yes with so much proxy that it screws us over anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because just to get to this point is such a step, to get to the point where it's not a no anymore, to get to a point where when we hit this next meeting, we've got a yes, no matter what. The question is, what do they do with it? And this is what I'm interested to see.
Our chat room, before we actually started recording the show today, we were kind of having a pre-chat with our chat room, and somebody actually made point, it doesn't matter, because I was making joke that I put a down payment on the new Duke Nukem game. And I said, my luck, it doesn't come out till May 6th. It'll probably get banned before it actually comes out. They were saying, yeah, we'll just wait till July because we'll have our R rating. I don't think things move that fast. That's the problem. And I think that even if they do approve an R rating in July, we're not going to see it for 6 months to a year, you know?
Yeah.
Governments don't move that fast. There's too much red tape to get through. They're going to have to write the guidelines, and then they're going to have to, you know, make the stickers. Yeah. They're going to have to, you know, force their opinions on what needs to go through, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it just takes a long time for anything in the government to go through. It's like when they announced they were going to do a GST. It was a year down the track before GST actually came into effect, you know? Because they have to pre-warn everybody and get everybody set up. Nobody wants to call us today, by the looks of it. That's all right. I think everybody's kind of shell-shocked on censorship anyway in this country. So, but that's fine. I think it's going to be a very interesting next couple of months. Because the government obviously doesn't want to let this go this time. And I got to say, somebody in our chat room, it's gone past now, so I can't see who it was, but you know who you were, so you can take credit for it. When they said, Brendan O'Connor is my new hero. And I have to say, I don't know if he's my new hero. This is the same man who was saying he wanted to overhaul and censor all the stuff in the app stores. So I'm not entirely sure he's my new hero. But I do have to say that he has been the most vocal on this subject for the last couple of years, at least. And I got to say, at least I'm agreeing with some of his opinions. So he's... I'd like to know who I'd really like to enter the fray at this point. I'd really like to hear what Kate Lundy has to say about this.
Just hear what she has to say. It doesn't have to change
anything.
She's
my hero. Yeah. Come on, bring on Kate Lundy. We want to hear what you got to say about this, Miss Lundy. All right, while we're waiting, if you do have things you want to say about all this, the phone lines are open. You are welcome to call in. We're going to move on, though, because otherwise the show comes to a grinding halt. That's pretty much what we have to say on censorship. So... Zed says, please, Katie, please. I agree. She's my hero. I love Kate Lundy. All right. So we're going to just jump in here and have a couple of other things. Now, this was a link that was in Delta's notes. And I just really – this tickled me because I always feel that geeks are that sort of thing where a true geek is a person who looks at a need – and basically says, oh, we need something there, and they just make it. They just go ahead and fill that need.
Yeah.
This is the iPotty.
Say again.
This is the iPotty. And I thought this was wonderful because apparently this guy worked in an office with a lot of employees, but only two toilets, one male, one female. And so you'd get up from your desk and you'd go over to the toilet, and of course, after walking all the way across the office, you'd find out that it was taken or was filled. So he came up with this idea for a little networked solution that worked within the network framework of his company that actually hooked into the network that had sensors on the doors for the two bathrooms. And he wrote an app for the desktop that basically had the little engaged or vacant signs on your desktop. So the little iPotty device, which he wired up, hooked into his network onto the router, and then basically everybody has it on their desktop so that when you look at your top of your desktop, you can say, oh, it's free right now. I can go to the toilet. And I think that's wonderful. I think that is just...
Yeah, you know what, man? My only problem with this device is you'll look at it, you'll be like, sweet, it's free. You'll go to the
and
door and somebody will be taken. So you haven't fixed anything.
What you need is they need an update to the app now, which you can actually reserve it.
Now, you see, then I'd be okay with it.
I think that would be awesome if you could put your little reserve symbol up. All right, so I thought the iPod was just very cute. So you can read it. He's actually got the full details on how to make one of these devices if you want one for your office. So there you go. Now, this is an app that is coming out from Warner Brothers, which I think is just brilliant. Gizmodo's got the story, and I just looked at this and I went, this is just the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Warner Brothers has released a new iPad app that streams 32 channels of live TV.
Oh, wow.
And you just go on there and you can actually just, you know, use your iPad as your mobile TV. The only problem is this app will never get released in this country.
Nope.
It'll never happen in this country. And once again, I just look at these sort of things and I go, this is where, living way down here in Australia, we go, we don't have Netflix, we'll never get this app, but there's all these wonderful things. We sit there and go, God, there is so much scope here, and we'll just never get it. Mm-hmm. Now, it says, Delta Knight said, oh, Dave, they cut the channels to only 15. Well, still 15. I'd take 15 over nothing.
15 channels is a hell of a lot better than iView. Yeah, I said it.
Look, I love iView because I love ABC content, but it is only ABC content. That's the problem. What we need is an iView-type app that feeds all of the content, you know?
Yeah.
So you can go on there and say, I want to watch Channel 9, I want to watch Channel 7. Okay, don't feed feed the cable content. All right, that Foxtel's got that wrapped up, and that's fine. But you could feed all of the digital channels straight through, and we could stream them. Why not?
Why hasn't this been done?
I don't know. Once again, we come down to that issue in this country where everybody's tied up with their almighty licensing agreements. Anyway, yes, I agree with you. Zed, ABC is one of Australia's best channels. Absolutely. Because
is it ABC, though? That was what made it cool. Australia's
best channel. Oh, very good. I've got a cold, all right? I'm a bit slow on the update.
That's why I'm putting them out.
Okay, now let's talk about this iPad, all right? We got two articles on this, but the first one is, let's just talk about it for a second, because we finally have a contender for Apple, all right? We've been talking about all these various tablets coming out and, you know, whether they're going to meet up, whether they're going to beat Apple. HP may have finally come up with a tablet.
Tell me about
that. Actually is a contender. And do you know what the most amazing thing about it is? It's the underdog. It's the one that nobody expected. It's running Palm's WebOS.
What?
Because if you remember, HP bought Palm last year, and they've turned around, and HP has just made this grandiose statement that not only are they using WebOS, which by all accounts is a great OS, just never marketed well by Palm, they're going to use the WebOS on all their tablets and mobile devices. They're also going to put it on the desktop.
Oh, wow.
So they're really stretching their wings with the WebOS. Now, this tablet is a WebOS tablet. Front-facing camera only. Makes sense on a tablet. Why do you need a rear-facing camera on a tablet? I've been through this before. I'm not going to take pictures with a 10-inch tablet. 9.7-inch screen, exactly the same as the iPad. Form factor looks very similar to the iPad. It has... where are we? We're at specs. I was looking at specs before, and I was like, this is awesome. Here we go, tech specs. You have a look at this tablet, and then you compare it to the iPad, and, oh, didn't I? Yeah, that's the cold. All right, so we've got a WebOS 9.7-inch XGA capacitive multi-touch screen, 1024x768, so we're looking at the same virtual keyboard, the same Microsoft Exchange email, POP3 and IMAP support on emails. GPS for 3G models, front-facing 1.3 megapixel camera. That is actually a better camera than the iPad 2's. iPad 2 is only a VGA camera. For video library, light sensors, accelerometers, compass, gyroscope. We've got all the same toys here. Audio formats, DRM-free MP3, AAC, AAC+. It supports everything that iTunes supports. Bluetooth wireless technology comes in 16 gig or 32 gig models. Rechargeable battery. Now, it doesn't actually say battery life here, but from what I've heard, the battery life is comparable. Internal speakers, blah. Anyway, so it's basically...
Oh, Beats Audio. That's really good. Dude.
Beats Audio speakers, absolutely. So basically what we're looking at here, it's got a Qualcomm Snapdragon dual PC 1.2 gigahertz processor. We're talking about a tablet that is almost identical specs. And here's the kicker. It's the same price.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, and it's 1.6 pounds. So it's actually 0.3 pounds heavier than the iPad 2, same weight as iPad 1.
That's fine.
So that's fine.
Now, do we know anything about the OS itself? Does it run Flash?
I don't know whether WebOS actually does support Flash or not at this point, but you know what? I wouldn't put it past them. Mm. I wouldn't put it past them that they would be running a Flash compatible with your phones. It says better together. Absolutely. Angry Birds is on it.
Angry Birds is on everything.
So, look. It prints.
And I imagine it doesn't need AirPrint compatible ones.
No, I would imagine that it probably just prints out of the box. Let's have a look. Touchpad includes essential productivity apps right out of the box. Collaborate with colleagues using Google Docs, Box.net. Print wirelessly to compatible networked HP printers.
Read what that says. What does that
with support for the latest web technologies, including a beta of Adobe Flash Player 10.1. All right, so we have a contender, and the biggest issue with the Zoom was everybody said the Zoom was a contender as well, but it was too expensive. It was still, even with the price drop, it was still $50 more expensive. This tablet is coming out at the same price. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what? WebOS may see a comeback. So it'll be very interesting to see if HP can bring WebOS back to life, I think. Now, Callison says, great hardware, software, bad marketing. At the moment, yes, but remember, it hasn't really come out yet. They're still in that early stages. Sounds kind of like the Zune is what they're saying. Well, possibly a little bit, but we'll see.
I've got to love Northy. Angry Birds, now available on your fridge. that game is available on every device.
Except Microsoft got in trouble. Did you hear about that?
No?
That was so funny. When they first released iPhone or Microsoft Phone, what's it called? Windows Phone 7. Sorry, worst name in history for a phone. When they first released the specs for Windows Phone 7, on the screenshots, there was one that showed Angry Birds being playing.
Yeah.
And Rovio went nuts, the developers of Angry Birds, because they hadn't licensed it yet. And they were just showing a picture of Angry Birds on it, but Microsoft Windows Phone 7 didn't actually have Angry Birds yet. They do now, and it was in the works. But in that early marketing, they were basically saying, you can't market it saying you're using us.
Yeah.
That's just not right. So I just think that's really interesting that HP might be, after all have been said and done with Zooms and playbooks and everything, HP just quietly slides in the background and goes, how about this? Just like those laptops. When the new MacBook Pros came out and they slipped those ProBooks out.
Yeah.
And you sit there and go, wow, you're just really just going neat, neat, neat every step of the way, you know? So I think it'll be very interesting to see where they're going with that. All right, let's move into some funner stuff, okay? Funner? Is that a word or is that just, is that my cold speaking? I think it's my cold speaking. First thing I want to say is, and this is actually something you're going to go have a look at the pictures of, but I'm going to show the pictures to Josh here. Remember Ripley's Power Loader?
Yeah.
In I think some guys actually have invented a pseudo power loader. These engineering students have actually come up with a working armature model. And all I can think is, if you watch the video and stuff, you'll see them using it. It's the idea is that the guy's riding in it just like the power loader, and when he reaches out, it reaches the arm out and everything. But it's all done like the old. Remember those children's toys where you put a pen in one side? And when you drew with this side, it's actually drawing a bigger version over here. It works in that same technology of lever systems. Mm. And all I can think is the next stage to this is to put hydraulics on it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The actual framework works. Now you need to bolster it up, make it heavier duty, and add hydraulics and a motor to this thing, and you will have a power lifter.
Oh, yes.
So it's a very interesting. There is actually a video, but I didn't grab the video for the show because it's all in Korean.
Yeah.
But it is kind of fun to watch because they're actually like running around with this thing, and they're actually like running, hoofing around with it and stuff like that, and doing stuff like stealing each other's drinks and stuff. And at the moment, I don't know if there's any real practical use for this, but you can see the idea germinating where you sit there and go, yeah, that's uber geek, man. That's cool. I just reminded everybody that if you have any comments on any of our shows, the phone lines are now open. This is for our live listeners, of course. If you're a podcast listener, you're a little late. 0280113167 or Geek Actually is our Skype handle. So now that we're off that topic, you can actually chime in with anything you want. Now, I've actually forgot. Oh, yes. The next article. This was a doozy. Whoops. This is a little embarrassing. Apparently, a Russian bomb squad were called in because of a strange ticking sound inside a package. And they came in. They called the whole bit, the full gear, everything. They got in there and they found out it was actually a sex toy had turned on by accident in the bag.
Who's that embarrassing for, though? The actual bomb squad or the person whose bag?
I actually think it's
vibrating.
A little bit of both, because as far as the bomb squad is concerned, don't you think they would have x-rayed it or something before they opened it up?
Maybe not. Maybe they don't have x-rays in Russia.
In Russia, we don't x-ray. Anyway, so I just thought that was kind of cute. Now, those wacky Swedes.
They're at it again.
They're at it again. You know, when people die... I am not of a religious faith, so I have to say that, you know, when I die, I believe that my body is a shell and, you know, just cook it, you know, turn it into ash and spread it over a wide area. Cause I don't think, you know, I don't believe in all that, you know, keeping the immortal soul and all that sort of stuff, but that's me. Okay. Yeah. Some people do believe in having a little bit more worship. Well, a Swedish company called Promessa has come up with a crazy new way of handling all of these dead bodies, right? And I was just wondering from somebody who, I mean, you grew up in a faith-based household, and our chat room can chime in on this as well. There is cremation.
Right.
And then there might be taking it just a little bit too far. And Geekology has an article. I'm going to quote from their article. It says, a Swedish company called Promessa has come up with a crazy new way of handling the remains of the deceased. And it's straight out of a science fiction movie. First, a body is chilled down to 18 degrees Celsius. Then it's entirely submerged in liquid nitrogen, which freezes it solid and makes it brittle enough that it can be shattered and pulverized into dust using high-power sound waves. Next, the dust, which is still about the same mass as the body was, is exposed to a vacuum, which boils off all of the moisture contained in the dust, reducing the mass by 70% or so. Lastly, all of the inorganic stuff that may be left over is removed with an electromagnet, and the dust is placed in a coffin made of cornstarch, all ready for a shallow burial that'll turn everything into compost within a year.
That's amazing.
Look, it's amazing.
It's expensive.
It's amazing, but isn't it a little bit of overkill? You know?
Look, I'm just saying, in a day and age where we're worried about chemical warfare and zombies eventually coming back to life, I reckon this is a pretty sound way to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, you ain't coming back from this.
There is no fucking way you are coming back from that.
I was just saying,
even the liquidator isn't coming back from
what
that.
What are they disposing of? That's what I want to know. What sort of hazardous chemicals do the Swedes have in their body that they need to go that radical? You know? I think that's just probably just a little much. I actually like the Geekology person who wrote this article has put their little editorial that just says, feed my ass to lions. You know, so I think that's just going a little far.
I think it's fantastic. I'm putting my name down.
You're going to Sweden today, are you?
Fucking A, man. I'm going to get myself so, like, toasted and smashed and pulverized.
Good
and,
point, Delta. What? Delta in our chat room has said, now that's a great way to really, really hide a body.
Yeah.
Wow. Could forensics actually get anything from
this? No, there's nothing left to get. They've taken about any piece of organic material and got rid of it. I think it's fantastic. I'm supporting it.
Fair enough. No problem. Yep. You're supporting it. I think it's a little bit much. Okay. Josh, the moment you've been waiting for. Sex time.
I think everyone should get this app. That's all I'm going to say.
Gizmodo has got an article.
It will help your sex life phenomenally.
I actually took the bullet for you guys, and I spent the $1.19 and actually downloaded it. It's a multi-system app. You can put it on your iPad or your iPod, and I have it. This is why my volume was actually turned up on my iPad, because we were having a look at it before the show. Whoops, can I type in my right number? There we go. All right, so what is Sexy Time? Sexy Time is an app. Now, you, I'm ashamed to admit it as a geek, but I've never watched the IT
Matt
Crowd.
Matt Berry, who, for people that don't know, is a UK comedian who is the boss in the IT Crowd. If you haven't seen that, you should go
see
it.
It sounds a little like this.
Matt Berry, and welcome to Matt Berry's Sexy Time soundtrack. Fed up with making love in silence? Well, I've invented an app that provides you with a suitable soundtrack that will reflect the intensity and speed of your lovemaking. It'll also tell you how good you are.
All right, so he has this long introduction, which we were going to skip at this point. And we're going to get into the app. Now, what the app basically is... Whoops, that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to do that at all. All right, let me go back to the app. All right. What the app basically is a parody, obviously. Don't take any of it too seriously. But the idea is he's giving you music mixes for your sexy time.
Yeah.
But it's not content on just doing music mixes for your sexy time. You have the option to turn on or off his commentary. All right, and I'll play you a couple of these mixes here. So you've got three mixes that you can pick from. Is this turned all the way up? I hope so. Yes. Okay. So you can have the expert mix.
Expert sex.
It says here, place on the bed and hit go, and then, you know, have your sexy time. All right. So this is just the mix.
And
this
paid money to watch this. I'd ask for a refund. You've watched hours of pornography.
And it keeps going. And he just kind of throws these comments in at various times, if you have the commentary turned on, of course.
Yeah.
Sex.
So that was just sex that time.
Believe in your work. Come on, man. You've watched hours of pornography.
I think it's fantastic.
All right, but what I love is he's got expert sex, ugly sex, or holiday sex. I thought ugly sex was in particular. The farmyard noises.
Is that all you've got?
Oh, dude, that's so wrong.
Sex.
All right.
You make love like an idiot.
All right, so... Oh, I should turn the volume down again before Josh yells at me. All right, so...
Oh, dude, that was so good.
I just thought that was pretty funny. And if you want to download it is available in the App Store. I would suggest you probably download it if you do want it soon, because it is likely that it'll probably get banned.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Puritan... App Store,
yep.
That is out there. But it is kind of funny. I don't think I would ever actually play it while I was having sexy time. And why the hell did our monitor just die?
Okay, cool. It's just the monitor. As long as
that was weird. It shouldn't, because all the screensavers are turned off. But yeah. Anyway, all the power savers, I should say, turned off. But that was very strange. Anyway, so yeah, that's Matt Berry's Sexy Time. You can find it. It's $1.19. It's a universal app. And yeah, it is kind of fun for a giggle. I was listening to it last night, and it is kind of fun. Now, Delta says he thinks that they use the accelerometer, that it detects how fast you're having sex as well. And when you actually push I'm spent, there's a button at the bottom that says I'm spent at the end. It actually gives you a rating of how long you went for and, you know, whether you were any good.
Dude, that's fantastic.
Little Geek says blue screen of death. Can we just get a verification from our chat room whether we are still up or did you guys phase out on us? So just let us know while we continue on. All right, so I thought that was very cute. I should have saved that for the app section, actually, but so there you go.
Yep. No,
all right. Now, this gives new meaning to the word bad customer service and ways to deal with it, Josh. I thought you might appreciate this. You're in customer service.
Yeah.
In China, a guy wanted to protest customer service, and so the way he did it was he drove his Lamborghini up to outside the store and then hired people to belt the crap out of it.
You're a fucking idiot. I don't care who you are.
So apparently it was for Consumer Rights Day.
Oh, right.
And he had actually had particularly bad experience with customer service on his Lamborghini. And so this was his protest, was he drove it up and beat. And all I can say is, how much money does this guy have? that they can just go up there and fucking...
What I love is the man has a Lamborghini. So, number one, why are you bothering to do anything customer service related yourself? There are people lower than you that you should be sending to do this because you've lost the common touch anyway.
Remember, he did hire people to actually do the bashing. He didn't.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But, like, why did he have bad customer service? Why was he even going into stores? Second of all, man, I think, realistically, there are enough problems on both sides of the fence, and the very concept that you're bashing up a Lamborghini over how angry you are at your service, my god, dude.
I just kind of have a problem with the philosophy that to protest bad service you destroy your product. It doesn't make sense to me.
But the customer service wouldn't have been from Lamborghini. It would have been from
his dealership, yeah. But it's, I just would look at it and go...
I don't understand the connection.
No, to protest customer service, wouldn't you go and beat the crap out of the customer service representative, not the product?
Or, hey, I've got a great idea. Stand outside the store and set yourself on fire.
Hey, there you go. I doubt that he would buy another one, says Delta Knight. Yeah, he might go to Ferrari now, right? Yeah. Okay, now I've got another video for you guys. This video brought a smile to my face, and I'm hoping it'll do the same for you. This is for all the geeks out there. This, Geeks Are Sexy, has the article, and this is a busker I can get behind. Now, buskers, you know, they sit in train stations, they do their music, you feel bad not putting any money in their hat, but half the time they're not very good. This woman's name is Natalia Peruz. She's known as the Saw Lady, and she actually plays a saw. And I won't even describe it. I'm just going to let you hear what she plays and tell me that this doesn't just warm the cockles of your geek heart. How good is that?
That's pretty amazing. My favorite dude is the obvious stoner dude that's just sort of standing there leaning, looking at it, going, far out, that's freaking crazy.
And Delta says he loves the look on her face. She just looks so proud of herself.
Why wouldn't you be? I would be amazingly proud of myself if I could play the Star Trek theme on a fucking saw.
Absolutely. So I think that was just wild. Very, very good. Now, I've just got a question for you, Josh, and that is, why the fuck has nobody thought of this before? This is an article on Gizmodo where they basically are selling now wheels for your cardboard box.
Yeah.
I just think this is genius. We all know that the kid would rather play with the cardboard box anyway rather than what you bought for them.
Yeah.
So here you go. Have some wheels, Sonny. Turn your cardboard box into a cart.
That's fantastic.
That's genius. And why has nobody thought of this before? This is one of those duh moments where you go, that's so good.
And that's so cool.
I am Ass Face on our chat room says, I want some. Absolutely. And you know what? If you could make them load bearing, wouldn't that make moving house easy?
There you go. It's a start. You watch it. The guy will be a millionaire.
It's going to take off. All right. So, and the last thing we've got here is, now there was video for this and there is video that you can actually go and watch on this. But once again, it's all in Japanese with subtitles. So I'm not playing it on the show because our audio listeners, of course, will get nothing out of it. Mm-hmm. So we will just describe it to you because this is our weird food section. Once again, it's not actually food this time. It's a product. And all I could, I just looked at this product and just went, huh? First of all, why isn't it smaller? And second of all, really, do we need that? In Japan, they've come up with an idea of making a lunchbox with a video camera in it so that you can give your thanks and make the person who made your lunch feel better. Because they can then, when they get lunchbox back, can watch it back on the little LCD screen inside. And the person making your lunch can give you messages that you can actually I'm sorry. First of all, why does it have this wonking great Logitech camera in it when we know that we can make webcams that are like, you know, this big, right?
I'm sure it's a prototype.
And secondly, you need to be able to wash your lunchbox, and having a little LCD screen and stuff in it, you'd hope this is all removable in some way. And thirdly, this is like every Jewish mother's guilt trip wet dream. You know, you open your lunchbox, eat your lunch, I slaved over it. I don't want a guilt trip lunchbox. No, I'm sorry.
No.
I think this is not a good idea.
No, it's a terrible idea. Number one, I just don't want that. And number two, I don't want mom popping up on my screen when I'm eating lunch.
And Zed has just pointed out that isn't it a little bit like masturbation when you make your own lunch? So yes, I'm hoping this doesn't take off, but
I'm,
you know,
hoping this dies in the house.
But there is a chance that it might. You can go watch the video, and the woman who's describing it is so happy about her invention, and all I can think is, no, this is not a good idea. I don't know why you're thinking that this is a good idea. All right, so we're going to finish off today with, as we have been, we're going to move into, oh no, we're not finishing off yet. We got Geek Picks of the Week.
Oh, right, yes.
Picks of the Week. I forgot about Picks of the Week. I've got a cold. I'm sorry. While you do your Picks of the Week, I'm going to go find a t-shirt. So what are your Picks of the Week?
Okay. Well, one of my picks is actually something I'm a little bit late to the punch on this one. I have just downloaded NBA Jam for the iPhone/iPad, and I do advise it for anyone that's ever liked anything that was a basketball game. It is also one of the simplest games that you will ever play. Essentially, it is a 2-on-2 game that involves you doing mad, insane, crazy moves, and they do have the current selection of people. If you're into basketball, they have the current selection of players,
right,
and they also have the current commentators doing the same lines from the original games, which are very cool. That's something that I'm quite proud of. But more importantly, my main pick for the week, and this is a must-have for everyone because it is a freaking cool game, Rainbow Six have just come out with a game for the iPhone/iPad, which is really cool. It does allow for the accelerometer movement. I totally don't advise that. It's just a little bit too complicated. You want a little bit more control, and you do have to reach over and touch the screen a lot, and that does get quite complicated.
I don't like accelerometer first-person shooters.
No, but I actually totally disagree, because Nova works really well, because there's nothing you have to touch on the screen except for the actual fire button itself, so you're never tilting the screen.
Yes, couldn't get into Nova. I tried it. I couldn't do it.
But it's actually very easy to use, whereas the problem that I have is with this game, you have to reach to tell your, like anyone that's played the Rainbow Six games, there's a lot of squad movement, so you tell your squad to go take up a position or something like that. So as you're trying to tilt the screen to aim, leaning in to try and press a button, you move the thing and it just doesn't work. Take it off. But once you've done that, very simple controls. They're using a lot of the technology that they developed with their Splinter Cell game, but it's a much more fast-paced game. It's a first-person/third-person. They've done a lot of work to make this work, and then on top of it, it's also 3-player online terrorist hunt, and for anyone that knows that, it means you have an unlimited amount of gameplay in this game, because it's
cool.
Basically one map with randomized enemies and places, so you just go in and clear out the building 3-player.
How much is this game?
It's $8.99, so it is a high-priced one.
I got some credit on my iTunes right now.
It's totally worth it, though. It's it is one of the best games I've downloaded in a while, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. It has all the same sort of things that the game, because these games were really well known to put a lot of extra things into it. Mm. And for fans of the Rainbow Six series, the first level after training is the original first Rainbow Six first level, which I think is freaking cool. But anyway, and there are other levels as well as you go along that are also dedicated ones. But go out and get it. It's fantastic, and it's totally worth $9.
Fantastic. All right. Now, I'm in a cold and flu medication drug-induced haze, I suddenly had a brain fuse, because I think I may have actually recommended my app before. But I'm going to recommend it again just because I can. First of all, I'm going to say my first app, of course, has got to be Sexy Time.
I was going to let you off this week because of Sexy Time.
No, I'm going to throw this one out there just in case I haven't. And it's also going to bring me to a refresher app that everybody should have, because the app that I've been particularly obsessed with over the last week is a game called iSlash. And for some reason I have this in my memory that I may have recommended this, but I'll talk about it again anyway. iSlash is basically the same vein, same type of game as Cut the Rope or Fruit Ninja. But the idea is it's all wooden boards, and kicking around on front of the wooden board are like little shurikens. And you have to cut the board away and you've got like a cut meter, and you've got to cut the board away so that you reach your particular goal without hitting any of the shurikens. So the shurikens are bouncing all around inside the thing. And then it gets progressively harder because they keep changing the shape of the boards, for one, and then they start adding metal corners and stuff like that, so you can't cut through those parts. So you have to kind of shave them away and stuff like that without hitting. And then they add things like bigger shurikens that actually explode, making lots of them. So you've got to cut them. You got to get the board cut before they have a chance of exploding. Now it's a lot of fun, and it's available on iPhone, or there is an iSlash HD available on iPad. I play the iPhone version on both. I haven't actually got the HD version, so I don't know which one. I don't know what it adds to it. The iPhone version plays very well on iPad, just enlarged, so I haven't had any problems. iPhone version is $1.19. The iPad HD is $2.49. The reason why I said it's going to bring us a refresher is because I actually got it for free. And this brings me to the point that if you haven't got FAD, free app of the day, this should be your next app. And we've mentioned it before on this show, and we have actually recommended it as an app. Just remind you, because I actually got iSlash for free. It's no longer free. And I got it for free because it was on free app of the day. Now, I have noticed that free app of the day, the actual app itself, is no longer free. The free app of the day platinum, or whatever it's called, it now costs like $8 or something to buy the actual app.
What?
So I think there is actually still a cheap version. There's like two versions of it now.
Dude, that's,
but for the amount of money that you will save on the free apps that you will find on it, it may be worth it. Okay, when Josh and I got free app of the day, it was actually a free app.
So, free app called free app of the day.
That's right. So it's kind of confusing, but yeah, the app is called FAD, FAAD, and it is well worth having as well if you haven't got it, because you will find stuff like iSlash and Little Gems. You'll also find a lot of crap. They put a lot of crap out on free app of the day, but there is some really good stuff on there. Every few weeks, you'll find something that becomes a new favorite. All right, so that's our apps. Let's move on. We have one last thing we're going to finish the show off with today, which is a little video. It's our moment in history. Now, I'm not sure the exact year. I did a bit of research because it's on the original article that was sent through to me. It's a Gizmodo article. They don't mention the year anywhere. I did a bit of Wikipedia searching, and I looked it up. And apparently this particular thing happened at the 20th anniversary of IBM PC. Not IBM company, but IBM PC. I think it's 2001 was that event. I think if this is the event, it's about 2001. And what we have here in this video is IBM programmer David Bradley on stage with Bill Gates. And David Bradley is actually the IBM programmer who programmed Control-Alt-Delete.
Right.
He's the one who created the Control-Alt-Delete combination. And in this video, he's just explaining why and why he created this Control-Alt-Delete. But that's not enough. What makes this video really worth watching is that he basically puts out a real bazinga to Bill Gates. So have a look at this video. This is David Bradley explaining Control-Alt-Delete.
Actually, I was just trying to solve a development problem that we had. Brand new hardware, brand new software. You're testing the stuff out. It would hang up all the time. So the only solution you have is turn the power off, wait a few seconds, turn the power back on, and you know, wait for it to go through the power on self-test. I said, I'm writing all this code for the keyboard. I can, you know, let's just shortcut it. And I originally intended for it to be what we would now call an Easter egg, just something we were using in development. It wouldn't be available elsewhere. But then the pubs people found out about it, and they're trying to figure out how to tell somebody to start up one of their programs, and they had the answer. Just put the diskette in, hit Control-Alt-Delete, and by magic, your program starts. So it was like a five-minute job in doing it. I didn't realize I was going to create a cultural icon when I did it. but you know, I have to share the credit. I may have invented it, but I think Bill made it famous. When you used it for MT logon. That's what I meant.
How good is that? The look on Bill Gates' face.
He's just like, fuck you, man. Fuck you.
The look on Bill Gates' face is priceless. And I love the fact that he gives that long pause and then goes, you know, for NT logon. It's like... That's genius. It's beautiful. So there you go. There's your little moment in history. And as I say, I think that was about 2001. If I've got that wrong, please, by any chance, send me email. But I had a lot of trouble trying to track that one back.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really good. All right, we're going to finish this up. We got a film show to do. And quite frankly, I really need to blow my nose. And I don't think you really want to hear that on air. So, yeah. So if you have anything to say or you have any feedback that you want to leave us, send it to feedback@geekactually.com. Or you can leave us voicemail 0280113167, or as I said before, our Geek Actually handle on Skype is one word, Geek Actually. And now, if you haven't ever sent us a voicemail before via that handle, you may need to get approved. Just put through the approval and we will approve you. Okay, so that's fine. And then you'll be able to send voicemails through. Now, if you want to get merchandise in there, I've got to point out, we have been really, really frantic. And now the shop's a little bit of a mess right now, but it's all still there. Mm-hmm. I've redone a lot of the merchandise on our Cafe Press site. New logos, new sales. The Delta Knight Geek On mug is available for sale now. So if you want to get that Delta, you are welcome to. And there's a whole new range of stuff still going up. I'm trying to have it all done by this week, but there is new stuff up there now. Yeah. So if you want to see it, it's all really good stuff.
I might have to get me a Geek On mug.
I think Geek On, well, we've got two types. There's a Geek On mug and a Delta Knight says Geek On mug. So there's actually two styles that you can get. So I'm also going to do the Delta Knight says Geek On t-shirts as well. So yeah, that'll be cool as well. So all that stuff is there. You can find that at cafepress.com.au/geekactually. But we're going to shortcut that and basically say merchandise, Twitter, Facebook pages, anything you want to do with us, if you want to find us in any way, just go to geekactually.com and there is a follow us link on the sidebar. And you click on that and it'll come up with a whole list of addresses for you. Okay, so you can find everything by going there. And you can also find Josh and I. Oh, the cold is messed with my head. Our personal Twitter accounts. All right,
Stuff.
You'll find it all there. And if you've been wondering about this chat room, this mythical chat room that we talk about, we do this show live every Saturday, roughly around the 12 p.m.-ish mark. We were 15 minutes late again today, but roughly around the 12 p.m.-ish mark, Australian Eastern Time. I'm not going to say Daylight Savings because I think it's ending soon. I don't know. Just whatever the time zone is currently. But Australian Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Saturdays. Now, for our American listeners, be aware that that is actually Friday evening because of the international dateline. You can look up the conversions yourself. I think it's about 5 p.m. Pacific. And you can also check out our friends WeekendRonan.com to find the wonderful movie podcast Real Junkies, R-E-E-L Junkies. They've got some new episodes out, and they're actually they reviewed this week the same film we're going to review, which is, of course, Battle Los Angeles, coming up in film, actually. And also, we want to check out another one of our friends, but I'm having trouble remembering what they're called. Josh, do you remember what they're called?
The what?
That other site that we always promote.
I don't know. Forget them. Fuck those guys. RawDLC.com. I just thought I'd throw a bit of Dave Love that way, you know, sort of even the scores out a little bit. Yeah, no, RawDLC.com.
It's that really short podcast, isn't it? Doesn't go nearly as long as our 11 billion hours.
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. You should check it out. We've got a whole bunch of new stuff all up over the actual page itself. We've also instilled the same thing that Dave has as well. So now people with iPhones and iPads and iPods can now listen to the episode straight off the website as well if you don't want to go through iTunes. But yeah, go check out the site. There's a heap of good stuff there. And we go out live Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
You're looking at me. I'm not on that show.
Shut the fuck up. I forgot, and I needed some backup, and you just left me hanging.
I got a cold. Leave me alone. Callison in our chat room has just said, mythical chat room, come speak to a unicorn or a Bigfoot. Absolutely. I promise you these things because I'm lying. Okay. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thank you very much for joining us. I think we're on about 5, but we'll still give him credit because I feel like giving him credit. Delta would always say we should do our sign-off as Geek On, everybody, and we'll see you all next week. Bye now.
We'll be right back.